The next matter, number 24-1447, Madeline Naimi Alvarado Hernandez et al. Versus Todd Blanche. At this time, would counsel for the petitioner please come to the podium, introduce himself on the record to begin.
Good morning. Christian Meyer on behalf of petitioners, and may it please the court. I would ask for 3 minutes of rebuttal.
You may.
This petition for review of the BIA's April 12, 24 decision is limited to just two issues that were found to be dispositive. That is the IJ's past persecution finding and a finding that petitioners would not suffer future persecution and could not establish a well-founded fear of future persecution on that basis. Substantial evidence contradicts both findings, and similarly, the board's analysis failed to consider all relevant evidence in reaching these conclusions. As it relates to past persecution, it's clear that Mr. Jose Fuentes's years-long campaign of harassing, stalking, threats, and a kidnapping attempt surpassed.
Let me ask you, because you say years-long, and it's been well in Honduras and even in the United States. So the key to your argument from your brief is it's the whole length that it's going, it hasn't stopped, and it continues. That's the thrust of your argument?
Certainly. I think it relates to the standard that finds that persecution requires that incidents be systematic and not isolated incidents. And that's exactly what this record presents. As you see, it starts with unsolicited messages where Mr. Fuentes, expresses his desire to have sex with Ms. Alvarado Hernandez. These progress into repeated instances of stalking, where he appears at her place of work, waits for her after work, even sends a cab, to take her to a place that's not her home, that, leaves her so fearful that she jumps out of the cab. Those instances of stalking then progress to instances of death threats against Mr. Salvador Vasquez.
And would you say, I know one of the things the IJ mentions, that, and the government also, there's been no harm. The daughter, even if she was, that there was an attempt at kidnapping, she was ultimately kidnapped. When the gang threatened the husband, they told him, we really want to hurt you. We're just passing along the message. The fact that that didn't happen does not affect your case and your position, correct? Your client's case?
No, I don't believe so. Now, setting aside the kidnapping attempt, I think even if you don't consider the kidnapping, it's clear that the harm rises to the level of past persecution. The board's analysis, while noting that Mr. Salvador Vasquez did face death threats, they ignore critical evidence where he testifies to the fact that Mr. Fuentes appears at his work, brandishes a pistol in his waist, and presses it against Mr. Salvador Vasquez. That left him so fearful that he ended up actually quitting that job, as evidenced by one of his co-workers' letters of support. That death threat in person with a weapon is a relevant factor that went unconsidered and supports a finding that these threats were so menacing as to cause actual harm or suffering.
Counsel,
now, yep.
Let me ask you this. I mean, what happened to your clients, of course, is not something that should happen to anyone. But as you know, the substantial evidence standard is a difficult standard, and you have to convince us that the record compels the contrary conclusion. And so given our case law that even death threats are not necessarily enough to amount to persecution, it depends on all of the other circumstances. In this case, where certainly somebody could conclude that nobody was harmed because the IJ, I think as she explained, was not at all clear that there was actually a kidnapping at all of your client's daughter. And so there's one way to read the record where no one was harmed at all. There was disturbing behavior, but as Judge Halpi pointed out, the so-called death threats from the gang themselves said, we don't actually want to carry them out. We think you're a great person and we wish we weren't here, essentially. What about the record do you think really compels the contrary conclusion here?
That would be the evidence of the psychological harm that was inflicted on Ms. Alvarado Hernandez. And that went entirely unconsidered by the board. She provided testimony as well as supporting evidence that demonstrates that she was referred to a psychologist in Honduras. She also provided psychotherapy reports that indicate that this is 2 years after she's receiving psychotherapy. She's diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. She's diagnosed with anxiety. And if I can actually quote these, you know, these reports, they state that she struggles to leave her home due to intense fear. That's AR-1169. The progress notes also indicate that she suffered persistent nightmares of being locked up, forced to do inappropriate things, and even of being raped. That's also at AR-1169. This is 2 years after. What is particularly problematic about the board's analysis is their reliance on this court's decision in Santos Garcia. In that decision, the court held that, substantial evidence did not compel a finding that those death threats were persecutory, in part because there was not specific details about the immediate impacts of those threats. We have these here. She testifies to the fact that she's afraid to go out in public. She provides these psychotherapy reports. And this court has recognized that in certain instances, a finding of past persecution may rest on a showing of psychological harm. That's McCool v. Ashcroft, 387 F3D 75 at 80. Yes, it's true that there is no specific physical harm, but there is substantial evidence that shows psychological trauma that's inflicted by years of stalking, threats.
You would ask that we remand the case with instructions that that be considered.
I believe you have two options. I think, you know, this record as it presents does compel a finding, but it does make clear from the agency's determination that they reference emotional harm in their decision. They reference Santos Garcia. Why is there no explanation about why the evidence that was not presented in Santos Garcia but is presented here, why does that not meet the standard of persecutory death threats? So yes, remand alternatively would be appropriate for redetermination on the past persecution issue.
Counsel, let me ask you just to make sure I understand your argument. I think you started off by saying that the BIA did not consider the emotional harm, but I think in its decision it does reference the emotional harm in two separate places. It just ends up concluding that, for instance, they say, although the lead respondent argues that she experienced emotional harm because of the various threats and harassment, she just hasn't shown that it's severe enough to constitute persecution. So what exactly do you think the BIA did wrong in its analysis as to the psychological harm point?
Well, I think that psychological harm does establish that these threats were so menacing as to cause actual suffering or harm, as evidenced by even years after she's suffering serious psychological consequences from Mr. Fuentes' actions. So that in and of itself satisfies, this court's, standard for persecutory threats.
So are you saying they made a legal error in how they understood the level of severity that she needed to show, or is it still the substantial evidence argument that you're making? I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying about the emotional.
I am making two separate arguments. Substantial evidence, yes, that it did compel a finding. But the problem with the agency's decision moving to a legal error is the fact that they relied on this court's decision in Santos Garcia, and they reference emotional harm, but there's no discussion of that highly relevant evidence, and there's no explanation as to why that evidence does not meet that standard.
Ed Rickleman just read that part. I mean, they cite Santos because it talks about threats. That's fine. And they say something about other concerns, but then you're saying the thing that separates it from Santos is psychological harm, and it was severe here, and they say it isn't. Now, I understand the substantial evidence. They just may be wrong about that, but I'm not sure why just citing Santos then creates a legal error where they are discussing.
It's because of the factual dissimilarities. Santos Garcia relied on the fact that the evidence was not presented. The evidence was presented here. So relying on that case to say that you did not present evidence showing that there were lingering psychological effects, you can't rely on that. That just indicates that the board did not meaningfully consider that. They may have said it, in their decision, but, their reliance on Santos, despite the factual dissimilarity, shows that there was no real meaningful, analysis of that evidence.
And your argument is the citation to Santos there makes no legal sense, and therefore you're not sure that the BIA understood the legal
And I think
it's, impact of the emotional harm.
And I think it's indicative of a lack of meaningful consideration of that substantial evidence of the psychological harm.
Okay, thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Hear from the government.
Thank you. At this time, would counsel for the respondent please introduce themselves on the record to begin.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Monica Anton on behalf of the government. And the first point that I'd like to address is the extent of past persecution. The government's position is that past persecution occurs in the country of nationality and that any continuing threats would relate to a well-founded fear and a reasonable possibility of future persecution. As far as the board's consideration of the evidence, the board clearly referred to the emotional threats, and it considered that that emotional harm did not rise to the level of persecution. These are very fact-intensive questions, and it's not necessary for the board to address every single piece of evidence when it's clear that the board did consider that there was emotional harm. So that citation, excuse me, to Santos Garcia is intended to indicate that the experiences she describes, the experiences summarized by the IJ and the board on the previous page of its decision, did not rise to the level of persecution. And it is, of course, fortunate that nothing physically happened to Ms. Alvarado or her daughter or her husband. And it's clear that the board considered all of the threats directed at each family member. So the government's position is that this is a factual question reviewed for substantial evidence, and that there's no indication that the board applied the wrong standard that would be reviewed as a legal question.
Counsel, just to clarify one factual point, because you talked at the beginning about sort of what harassment counts for the persecution fine. How many years of harassment was it in
Honduras? I believe she testified to 3 years in Honduras, if I recall correctly from the transcript.
So you're not contesting that. You're just contesting that the further contact once she came to the United States shouldn't be counted.
Right. And it's not that it wouldn't be counted. It's still considered for future persecution, just that it wouldn't count towards past.
But, counsel, would you agree that Santo Garcia is controlling here? Whether we agree with you that this is similar to that, or we agree with opposing counsel, it's really focusing on that principle enunciated in that case, correct?
Sure, in the sense that death threats may rise to the level of persecution, but do not. So it's not announcing a legal standard. It's more a factual comparison.
But in Santos, here there is evidence, as opposing counsel argued, of psychological trauma and PTSD. That wasn't, that didn't occur, at least in Santos Garcia. Isn't this, at least would this require a remand so that the BIA or the IJ consider that evidence as well? And maybe the result will be the same, but I don't know if it's, how much has it been considered at all?
We know that it's been considered because the board is acknowledging that she experienced emotional harm because of these threats. And that evidence substantiates that emotional harm that she experienced. So it wouldn't require remand because we know that the board did consider the emotional harm.
So is your position that the citation to Santos there is just to the general principle of sometimes things are just not enough to amount to persecution, rather than a misreading of the case, as opposing counsel has argued? Is that the government's view?
That's right. That's right. That the board did consider all of the harm, and that as a matter of fact, a factual matter, that in the board and the IJ's view, it didn't rise to the level of persecution.
And how do we do that on the? I mean, I don't. On this question of emotional harm, there are death threats. The whole thing is pretty horrible. And there is a record of pretty significant emotional trauma. What is the line? Like, how does, what gives, I mean, the board provides no explanation other than we don't think this is enough. And what is that grounded in?
The question of persecution has always been a bit murky as far as what conduct would rise to the level of persecution. So certainly the absence of physical harm is a factor to consider, and whether emotional harm in and of itself rises to the level of persecution, it's likely that it's rare that it does.
And I guess what's troubling is, right, so death threats can. This case has death threats. This case has a long history of harassment, abuse going on. And so it does, I guess, and so then the cases sometimes say yes and sometimes say no. And then it comes down to, I guess, based on Santos Garcia, how did this affect you? There's evidence of effect, and then a fact finder with no explanation whatsoever just saying, not enough. And that's, is that just, and then without, how do we decide that it compels the opposite conclusion when we don't even have any sense of what they're thinking other than sort of just the thumbs down? I mean, that's basically what you have there, the proverbial not enough. It seems very thin.
Well, there is consideration of the evidence. The board is reviewing thousands of cases where it's seeing this kind of evidence, and it has this big picture view of different levels of harm. So in the board's view, having considered that evidence, what we need is substantial evidence to compel a reversal of that finding. And certainly there is evidence that would make us discuss
substantial evidence, or it could be that the board or the IJ did not consider something that should have been factored more specifically, you know, into the analysis. That would also require remand, correct?
If they did not consider it, but we do have an indication that they did consider it and that they concluded it was not sufficient to rise to the level.
Okay, but what makes it sufficient to rise or not rise to the level? Because let me give you an analogy. Probably every state, or I'm sure every state has, you know, you have domestic violence, and there may be cases, and I'm sure everybody has read or seen, or, you know, everybody who's been in some other capacity, that there are types where the emotional abuse is a million times worse than you know, maybe there's no physical abuse, but you compare those victims, you know, and it's still as bad, you know, and again, I don't see any beef to that. You know, there's obviously a statement that did not rise to the level of persecution, but how do we know that? Yeah. And where do you draw the line? Is it, you know, did it have to get physical also, aside from the emotional? That's, you know, I don't know.
Certainly physical harm would be a factor that would increase the effect of the emotional harm. But we have other countervailing factors. So there wasn't physical harm. And also the other gang members said, we're not really interested in getting involved in this. So there is a limitation to this one.
Forget about all the physical harm. Are you saying that you know, because the board here, I don't see anywhere it's saying, you know, there is evidence of emotional harm, but we don't see it rise to this level because X or Y or Z. It simply says it's not sufficient, but we don't know. From at least from this record.
Counsel, what can you tell us about what we've said or the board has said about situations that do qualify as persecution on the basis of emotional or psychological harm?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head where emotional harm has risen to the level of persecution.
If you were going to write this draft opinion, how would you describe in words why the emotional distress evidence was insufficient? What would you say about it that was inadequate?
It's not that the evidence was inadequate.
You're going to write why it doesn't compel the opposite conclusion, and you're going to tell me something about it that doesn't compel the opposite conclusion. What would that thing be?
So she clearly did submit this evidence where she's receiving ongoing treatment, but it doesn't appear to have so restricted her life that it rose to the level of persecution, and which is fortunate, of course, that it didn't rise to that level. So the introduction of evidence itself does not establish persecution. It has to show a certain effect, and we see that she's able to continue working, and we see that she is...
Aren't a lot of victims of domestic violence able to fully work around the clock, but when they go back to their abode or throughout the day, unbeknownst to everybody, they are traumatized.
There's no question that there's been emotional harm, that she's been traumatized. But whether it rises to the level of persecution and whether that's an arguable question is not compelling. And we know that the board and the IJ did consider that evidence, so it would be a question of substantial evidence.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Rebuttal, 3 minutes. Please identify yourself.
Christian Meyer for petitioners. So if I may briefly address some of what came up, and then I'd like to move to well-founded fear of future persecution. So respondent asserts that it did not meaningfully restrict Ms. Alvarado Hernandez's life. It did, as evidenced by the psychological reports that demonstrate that she is so fearful that she cannot leave her home. She also attempted to relocate to her grandmother's, and within 2 hours, she receives a text message from Jose Fuentes that says her grandmother's address, the color of the home.
When she's in the United States, I know exactly where you are, and describes the whole thing. So that's clear. But the issue is, how does that warrant that we remand or
can you tell us anything about what the board or we have held in our decisions about what kind of emotional harm is enough to amount to persecution when there is no physical harm?
So it's not directly on point to the exact circumstances. The BIA does contemplate in matter of AK, which I believe is cited in our opening brief, that the intentional targeting of a close family member may qualify as persecution where it is intended to cause that emotional or psychological harm. And
that would require contravening the IJ's assessment of the evidence on the kidnapping.
Yes, and I believe that that's the IJ, BIA, and respondent all assert that there's multiple reasonable viewpoints of the evidence. I don't believe that's what the record shows. Prior to the incident, Mr. Fuentes tells her neighbors, "I can kidnap the child." Right after that, we have this incident where petitioner asserts that she believes the child's kidnapped. Directly after that, he discusses that he didn't achieve his goal and he's going to try again. Respondent has said that it's not clear.
Counsel, but didn't the IJ actually say that really the issue was that based on your client's testimony, it wasn't even clear that the child was kidnapped? In other words, and I read your client's testimony, I understand that she'd just gone to a medical appointment and it's hard to remember exactly, but all that the testimony reflects is that she looks up for a moment and her daughter's not there, and then someone actually says, "Oh, there's your daughter," and brings her back. So I thought that really what the IJ concluded was not that she hadn't been in touch with the harasser, but that there wasn't actually enough to show that the child had been kidnapped.
So she does note that she, during this incident, felt that someone was watching her. This is a woman who faced years of stalking. She's well aware of what it feels like.
No, I understand. That's why I'm asking you a slightly different question, because again, I think what the IJ was focusing on was not disbelieving your client per se, but just that the testimony that she actually provided in the IJ's view, who was the fact finder, was not enough to actually show that her daughter was kidnapped. I thought that was the focus of the IJ's.
Yes, and I believe that it's unreasonable to believe that there was not an attempt, whether or not it was successful. Like I explained, she feels that she's being watched. She also notes in testimony that she found it odd that she saw an individual carrying a diaper bag with no baby. Her child was, an infant at the time. I would also point the court to her credible fear interview, where she directly states that the woman who tried to take minor petitioner was in fact paid by Mr. Fuentes, and that along with the fact that after this occurs, in her testimony, she's asked, "Did Mr. Fuentes talk about this incident?" She responds affirmatively and then says he essentially takes ownership of it. Whether or not he succeeded, this was successful, he is saying to her neighbors to the community that he made an attempt to kidnap. He orchestrated this. So I don't believe that it's reasonable to just say, in light of the totality of, you know, the evidence here, that, oh, she just, you know, lost track of her and she ran off for a second. That doesn't make any sense. Why would Fuentes even be aware that that happened? Why would he take ownership of it? Why would he threaten a kidnapping attempt prior?
The position is that the record compels the conclusion that there was a kidnapping attempt.
Yes, and I think that it's an unreasonable interpretation of the record to say that there was not any connection. Whether or not it was a successful attempt, I believe is kind of inconsequential.
But even had the kidnapping incident not taken place, you have enough, in your view and your argument, enough to have this case remanded anyway, not notwithstanding that, even just with the threat I'm going to kidnap.
Certainly, yes, I believe so, as discussed, you know, with the evidence of the psychological trauma.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes argument in this case.